Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Amen. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. When you get there, we're going to start reading at verse number 36. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse number 36. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. But now they are hid from thine eyes. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. We ask for your blessings. We ask for your anointing. We ask that you'll touch the hearts, the minds, and the ears of your people this morning to receive this word with meekness. And we'll never fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for it is truly thine in heaven and earth. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Palm Sunday is a time that we celebrate, as you know, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we read this account every year. It's been preached on for many, many decades, centuries. And the point that I want to come from this morning is this whole thing of the excitement of the people. The people were excited. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit, but I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. They are excited. We know the story. They cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're excited because their king, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In fact, they even said he is the Messiah. So they know who he is. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. But what I want to do is back up a few verses of scripture in that same chapter of 19, starting at verse 10. It says this, For the Son of Man, Jesus is talking here, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now listen to this. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought, and because they thought, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. I want to take for a thought this morning, because they thought, because they thought. In verse 12, he said, Therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he's speaking this parable, and we're going to get into that parable here in just a few moments, but I want to spend a little time on verse 12. He's speaking this parable because he realized, Brother James, their thinking is skewed. The reason for their rejoicing is wrong. Let that sink in this morning. Their excitement, they're excited, Sister Robin, for all the wrong reasons. And so he speaks this parable, and he says, This nobleman, a certain nobleman, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. There's a lot of meat in there. First of all, he's speaking of himself. This nobleman here in this parable is speaking of Jesus. Jesus is the nobleman. And when it says he went into a far country, that's speaking of heaven. Heaven is a far country, isn't it? and to receive for himself a kingdom refers to when God the Father, when Jesus arose on the third day, went into the lower parts of hell for 3 days and three nights and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He even preached to the fallen angels while he was down there. And as he ascended up and took his rightful place on the right hand of God, seated on his throne, God the Father proclaimed him King of all kings, Lord of all lords, and gave him an eternal kingdom that will never fail. Finally, in that verse of scripture, he says, and to return. This is speaking of the rapture, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he laid the foundation here with verse 12. Then he continues, let's just read along together with me. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy, when? Till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, keep that in mind now. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second one came, in the same manner, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him, likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, I have kept laid up in a napkin this pound that you gave me, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, and that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not the money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath the 10 pounds. And they said unto him, but Lord, he has 10 pounds. Jesus said, for I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those, listen to this, those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, I want you to notice a few things in this parable. Jesus leaves and goes into a far country, heaven. God dons him as King of kings and Lord of lords. He's seated at the right hand of God, and he's waiting for the Father to pull the trigger, so to speak, Brother Tom, for him to return. In the meantime, he tells us to occupy, Brother Archie, until I come again. Now, I want you to notice something in these verses of Scripture. There were 10 servants in this particular parable. 10. Each one of them was given 1 pound. Did you notice that out of the 10... only 2 are mentioned in scriptures as actually doing something with it. And one of them laid it up in a napkin and kept it back. Now we can speculate on the other 7. They might have done the same thing as the guy that put it in a napkin. Or Brother Ronnie, they might have went out and spent it. We don't know what they've done with it because the Bible doesn't record that. But what it does record is the ratio. 2 out of 10 actually did something with it. Doesn't that sum up the church world today? I seen a statistic this past week. They did a poll, a study, and they showed across the board of all denominations that the clergy and the leaders of the church, Brother Archie, are having to change their books. And they're having to reroute the way they do things, because now we have people who call themselves Christians who only come to church on Easter and Christmas. Now we have people who call themselves Christians, Sister Paula, who only come quarterly. Now we have people, Sister Robin, who call themselves Christian, who only show up for 1 service a week. And so they're juggling around the books. These 10 servants that were given the pounds, only 2 actually did something with it. Today, in all of our churches, not just in the United States, but mostly in the United States, of all denominations. We have houses, tabernacles like this, Brother Mark, filled with nothing but pew warmers. Now, don't fall out with me. I'm just preaching you the truth this morning. I heard someone one time said that 20% of the people do 100% of the work, while the other 80 sit back and complain because the 20 aren't doing it right. That, I think, is where that ratio came from, because only two actually did something with it. Verse 27 is the key verse that I want us to look at. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. This actually has a twofold meaning. It's speaking of the time of Jacob's trouble, as we know as the Great Tribulation period, of the people during that time. Brother Archie, the Bible says in Revelation that even though their body is covered from head to foot with boils, grievous boils, the Bible puts it, and even though they're being tormented by these demonic locusts that's described in the book of Revelation, now some Bible scholars think that they will be invisible to the eye. Some, like me, think they'll be very visible, because after all, why would the Word of God go to such great detail and lengths to describe them and every part of them, what they look like? That's my opinion. You can have yours. Whether they're invisible or whether they're visible, they're going to be tormented for 5 months. And their torment is as when a scorpion striketh a man, and they will beg for death, but they will not be able to die. They'll call out for the rocks of the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And in all of this torment, what I was getting ready to say is they will shake their fist to God and cuss him out rather than repent. These during the tribulation period will be slain. But the second meaning of this refers to the millennial kingdom. And we touched on this last week when we were preaching. We were talking about how the nations will come into that. Some of them will be what's referred to as the sheep people. And some of them are referred to as the goat people. Well, the goat people are those who are the wicked. They will all perish within that first 100 years of the 1,000-year reign. Why? Because the Bible says that Christ shall rule them with a rod of iron. They will say the same thing that those said in the Great Tribulation period. We will not have this man to reign over us. Now I'm going to get on some troubled waters here, so hang on. In our world today, God forgive us, churches of all places that are condoning this. You heard me just say, we will not have this man to reign over us. We think it's all right to ordain homosexuals and put them behind the pulpit. We think it's all right to murder babies when their heart is beating and their lungs are developed and they've got fingers and toes and eyes. We think it's all right to do this. We think it's all right to do that. We think it's all right to compromise with a religion that says if you don't convert to how we believe, we're going to cut your head off. We will not have that man to reign over us. That is why he will rule them with a rod of iron. Verses 28 through 40 describe kind of what we just read there a little bit ago. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, I mentioned before about the excitement. They're excited. Why are they excited? They're excited because they believe, or to go along with my thought, because they thought that Christ was going to, by force, rend the kingdom from the Roman Empire and set up his immediately. That's why they're praising him. That's why they're crying, Hosanna. Now, don't look at me like I'm from Mars. That's what the Bible said. They're praising him for the wrong reason. Even Peter, if you remember, when they were in the garden, he drew his sword and cut off the ear of the guard of the high priest. And Jesus picked it back up and stuck it back on, said, no, now's not the time. I could imagine Peter's look, say, what? In their mind, he's already said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter knows he's God, and now God is allowing soldiers to take him and beat him and crucify. Oh, no, this can't be, Lord. No wonder Peter tried to rebuke him. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. How many times does God speak something to us, Sister Wanda? And because the result is not what we thought it was going to be, our excitement dissipates. Thank you. It's starting to sink in. How, Brother Jimmy? I don't know. When, Brother Jimmy? I don't know that either. Where, Brother Jimmy? Only God knows. We're not mind readers. We're not supposed to sit and try to figure this thing out. We're not supposed to be excited for God as long as everything is sunshine and roses. We've got to be excited for God, Brother Archie, even when he takes our loved one from us. Amen. We've got to be excited for Jesus even when we're sick in our body. We've got to be excited for Jesus even when the bills are being paid slow. We've got to be excited for Jesus no matter what we're facing, whether it's sunshine or rain. He is still God. He is still on the throne, and he's still in control. Hallelujah. So what is the purpose of our praise? Do we have preconceived notions or ulterior motives? Oh, that's a loaded question. Don't everybody shoot at me at once. What's the reason of your praise? What's the reason for my praise? Why am I praising him? Am I praising him because I want to dance in the spirit? Am I praising him because I want to talk in tongues? I feel like the Apostle Paul, Brother Tony. I speak in tongues probably more than you all. But when I'm in the house of God, I'd rather speak five words with my own understanding than 10,000 words in a tongue and nobody be edified. See, Pentecost has become so skewed. And I don't mean to get off the subject here this morning, but I feel prompted to say this. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. Tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Tongues is one of many manifestations of the Holy Ghost. In fact, tongues is the least of the gifts. And many Pentecostal churches today have twisted and turned our precious Holy Ghost into something, and they've augmented it, and they've skewed it, and they've made it some monstrosity that when other denominations see them, they say, those people have lost their minds. No wonder they said we roll babies down the aisle, swing from the chandeliers. Why do you say that, brother? Well, I know of a church in Fairborn years ago where they had a woman come and hold a revival, and they were singing and supposedly got happy and threw the microphones and busted the microphones. Bless God, we had such a time last night, the Holy Ghost got on up, we broke the microphones. Bless God, I would have said as the pastor, bless God, you had such a good time, God said, you're going to pay me for them microphones. God doesn't do things like that. That's what we refer to as strange fire, not the real fire. There's a real fire, and then there's the wrong kind of fire. You know, there was the fire that Peter was warming himself by, and then there was the fire that the Apostle Paul shook the snake off in. That's the kind of fire I want, the Holy Ghost fire, the real fire. But their praises, their excitement was all for the wrong reason. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this. For the word of God is quick, amen, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, listen to this, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know what? You can come into this place and fool me. You can go to Spalding Road and fool Pastor Thomas. You can go into Pastor Kenny Day's church and fool him. But there's one you cannot fool. Because he sees your heart like he sees my heart. And he knows, Brother Mike, our intentions. Whether we have ulterior motives or not, he knows. 1 Peter 3, 4 says it like this. But let it be, and I love this verse, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. If we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says, in due season, he will exalt us. When, Brother Jimmy? I don't know. Where, Brother Jimmy? I don't know. How, Brother Jimmy? I don't know, but God knows. Amen. See, the key is the condition of our heart. Because he knows the very thoughts of our mind and the intents of our heart. I'll give you another example. Some ushers passing an offering plate. Some little woman wads up some money and drops it in there. It's everything she's got. It goes along the pew. Somebody else pulls out the money. Look what I did. God judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I'll lay another one on you. This might rock some boats. We were in a church service a few years back, and the pastor was raising money for something. And God had laid it upon a young man's heart to give X amount of dollars. And he walked up to the pastor and he stuck it in her hand and said, "Here it is, but don't tell how much it is or where it came from." Now, most people that would give the amount that this young man gave would want the whole church to know what they gave. But the Bible says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. One of the biggest problems that I have with organized churches is they make it virtually impossible for you to pay your tithes without them knowing everything about you. We've got some people here that pay their tithes and it's unmarked. I thank God for that. I don't look at your tithes. I've told you that. I don't know who pays what. I don't want to know. That's not my business. See, at the end of the day, I have to stand before God for my stewardship. But you have to stand before God for yours too. What is the thoughts and what is the intents of our heart this morning? Isaiah 29 verse 13 sums it up pretty well. He says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near unto me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Listen to this last part. "And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." What do you mean, brother? Well, we have churches today that have congregations today, Brother Mark, who are fearful of the Lord, not because of what that Bible says, but because of what that man says. My rules, my regulations, my four and no more. Well, my Bible tells me it's a number that no man can number. And if everybody's walking around with hair piled up on the top of their head and dresses hanging to the floor and the men's got their hair buzzed up all the way the back, no beards, no mustache, and everybody looks the same, what a boring place we would be in. It reminds me of them old black and white movies when you see the cowboy walk up to the Indian. Pale face. Yeah. I don't believe God expects us all to look alike. I don't believe he expects us to act like robots. However, the Bible does talk about modesty. I got in trouble a couple times with churches that I tried to work with as music ministers because they'd let their teenage girls come up here with low-cut dresses and tops on where you could see half of the cleavage hanging out. I seen young men get up on the platform with skin-tight blue jeans on and you could tell every angle that was in him. And they're praising the Lord. We went to a big church a few years ago and the quote worship leader, she was up, had a mini skirt on, and she got happy, and every time she jumped up, you could see what was underneath. There is, Brother Mark, a standard. And I tell people, in fact, I just talked to Brother Ron Short this week. We met and had lunch. And I told him, I said, "I'm not a legalist. You know that. But we do have a platform standard. And the reason I have a platform standard, main reason I have a platform standard, is because of what I just told you. If you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. This is a holy place. It's all a holy place, but see, some churches make it so hard for people to come in the door and sit in the pew How are you going to win somebody? I'll show you how bad it is in some cases. They stand outside the door, two ushers with measuring tapes, and they have it on the ground, and they pull it up, and if the woman's skirt is not a certain length, they're not even allowed to come into the church. Now, I'm not crazy. What I'm telling you is the truth. I don't know how I got off on that. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, and I'll wrap it up with this. Now Jesus is speaking. And he's quoting Isaiah, the verse we just read. Jesus says, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." Wow. Brother Jimmy's never called anybody here a hypocrite. Yet. No, I'm just kidding. "As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips." And here's the key. "But their heart is far from me." See, now the king's talking. Because they thought. What are we thinking this morning? What are we trying to figure out in our mind? Can I just say this morning, if we'll quit trying to figure things out in our mind and just let God be God in our life? There was an old song by the Ritchie family. I don't know if any of you ever heard of the Ritchie family. That's years and years ago. And the father would always sing this song. It was a very popular song. They would always request for him to sing it. He had a real gruff voice. And I remember the chorus, "It's not all roses, boy, this road you're traveling on." But the last part of it always stood out to me, brother. I said, "One day the sun will shine. One day the flowers will bloom. So just keep traveling on, little boy of mine." And the song talked about, maybe Brother Tony might have remembered it, I don't know, but the song talked about a little boy that lost his dog. And it was a sad song, one of them slobber knockers, you know. You feel sorry for the little kid. He had to take his dog out and bury him, and his son saying, "It's not all roses, boy." And the song started out how the boy was playing with his dog every day, and they were buddies and this and that. And everybody got to the end of the song, and his dad had to teach him a lesson. It's not all roses. We can't be excited for God when everything's going good. We've got to hold on. We got to keep pressing on. Why? Because Jesus is coming back at any moment. And what a terrible, terrible thing it would be for that trumpet to sound and all these people all over the United States of America and all these different churches who have heard their pastor preach continually, "Jesus is coming back. You better get ready. Jesus is coming back. You better quit being a friend of the world. Jesus is coming back. Lay down that secular music." And I'm not going to start meddling this morning, so don't get nervous. But Jesus is coming back, and that thing he put his finger on in your life that you're so stubborn you won't lay down, are you willing to let that keep you out of the kingdom of God? That thing is closer to you than God is. See, I told you I wouldn't call you a hypocrite. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. And we ask, Lord God, that your word will take root, that it'll not just be another message that's thrown by the wayside and forgotten. I pray, Lord God, that it'll take root in our heart and in our life. Your coming is so soon, and one of the biggest lies that the enemy is telling people today is the Lord delays his coming. They've said it for years. You've got plenty of time. You're young. You can do whatever you want to do. There'll be plenty of time for church. Quite possibly one of the biggest lies the devil ever tells. But I pray, Lord, that your word will take root this morning. I pray, Lord God, if there are those here this morning, Lord, that their thinking is skewed. I pray, Lord God, that you'll get us right back on the right track this morning.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved. Change me. I no longer have to live.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.